Next in Marketing is hosted in partnership with TripleLift, the essential marketplace for advertising solutions across every channel and for every objective. The only major supply-side exchange designed to make advertising better for everyone, advertisers, publishers, and consumer. This week on Next in Marketing, I spoke with Luke Keigel, who's both Vice President of Walgreens Media and Head of Walgreens Advertising Group. Luke talks about whether the red-hot retail media space shows any signs of a slowdown, why he feels well-prepared for a post-cookie world, and what he wants to see more of in CTV. Let's get started.
Everything we know about the media, marketing, and advertising business is being completely upended thanks to technology and data. We're talking with some of the top industry leaders as they steer their companies through constant change. Welcome to Next in Marketing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Next in Marketing. My guest this week is Luke Keigel. He's the VP of Walgreens Media and Head of Walgreens Advertising Group. Hey, Luke. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I want to get into your title because it seems really interesting because you're kind of in the middle of two monster trends. I read that as you oversee Walgreens as an advertising company, like as the retail media business blows up, and you also help direct your company's media budgets as an advertiser. Is that right? And by the way, that's
yeah,
two new jobs.
It's a fascinating role. Yes, two jobs in one, but it's a fascinating role because I'm in many ways I'm buying and I'm selling, which is it's just a fascinating purview to the industry, and to have the visibility of different seats has been quite eye opening for me. I grew up on the call it the buy side of, of the industry in the agency world, and then. You know, I've been a quote-unquote in-house media client for, I was at Johnson & Johnson and now Walgreens. And with the creation of Walgreens Advertising Group, it's been a tremendous journey. But very, very eye-opening. And you just have totally different kinds of conversations, which I personally have found to be quite invigorating and derive energy from, again, like just having a different seat and a different viewpoint of the industry. It's just been fantastic.
I want to ask you about those conversations, but maybe we'll start with your day job or your original job, perhaps you're helping Walgreens market itself and trying to figure out how to use your ad dollars effectively during this time of tremendous change. I want to ask you, we're looking at a moment where the media business is going through tons of change. Digital media is going through major changes in the way people are identified. How are you looking at, let's just say traditional, let's start with traditional television right now, as you try and, I assume you're trying to get better on measurement, figure out targeting on a different level, trying to use the data that's at your disposal as that medium changes radically?
Yeah. So, I mean, all of that is right. And we, my sort of dual sided job is half of it is where Walgreens is the advertiser. Walgreens is the marketer, Walgreens is the advertiser. And then the other half is Walgreens is selling media space and media services to other advertisers.
Right.
And those things are interlinked because part of how we created media services business is on the back of accelerated capabilities of Walgreens as an advertiser. We sometimes say lovingly, like we don't have that P&G money, but we spend significant dollars in media.
Sure.
We are, we're a player in the industry. And interesting that you use the term traditional television because it's still very much how the industry operates, and it's still very much how the industry organizes. But it is actually antithetical to the way people live their lives and how, quote unquote, consumers are consuming media.
Sure.
And
you're having to undo a lot of that legacy system and thinking, right? As we're as we're evolving very quickly here.
100%. And we've been on a journey of transformation, as many folks are, and that transformation is tied to, call it digitalization, not just of our quote-unquote mix, but also taking the principles of what have made digital media effective and applying those principles to what has legacy been referred to as traditional media. So on its face, do we participate in the upfront? Yes. Do we buy quote-unquote traditional linear television? Yes. Mm-hmm. But are we on a mission to chip away at that and evolve that to be more in line with how people are actually consuming content?
Right.
And also how we are transacting against digital platforms, a lot more about audiences, a lot sure. more about impression delivery and reach frequency management and optimization in real time versus that sort of traditional mechanic.
Right.
Of how you buy quote unquote linear TV.
Yeah, and I guess I'm making maybe an unfair assumption that you're a traditional brand, so you have a traditional strategy, and that you're getting into the ad business, it would not be connected to that. But it sounds like it was born out of experience and the way you buy digital media and the kinds of things you can optimize, and realizing maybe the value of the data that you guys have in your ad opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the role of the retailer is changing in the industry, and the proliferation of retail media as a category is sort of evidence to that. And I can speak on this for a long time, but the evolution of Walgreens as a marketer and Walgreens as an advertiser is very much in this zone. So, I mean, at this point we are digitally led. Mm-hmm. If you did actually take our mix and break it down to the more legacy terminology, which we don't actually think of in our world, but if you did that, we'd be, you know, give or take, you know, 75-80% digital. I mean, we are digitally led, technology enabled, data fueled, mm-hmm. on the power of our first party data that is based on a direct relationship with just a hair under 100 million people. And that then becomes a seed of fuel for knowledge of a person and what it is that they are interested in, but then also more effective, broader media by just using that as a seed to then model off of.
Right.
And starting from that, you know, seed that is more accurate, if you will, to define the person.
Right.
Then you're going to have more accuracy as you scale that out as well.
Okay. So when it comes to being an ad sales company or your as retail media has sort of blown up, I wonder, is that happening? You know, like, you've had, obviously Amazon's huge, and you've had Walmart and Target and, you know, CVS and you guys and everyone's, so many companies are getting into this. Is this booming because it's just really effective and it's sort of like on par with search and social media? Or is it a product of the flight to using your first party data? The brands dealing with this identity, massive identity change, and this is like a really safe haven that actually works well. I don't know if you can break that apart or not.
So it's a great question. It's a great question. So we have a hypothesis about the things that are sort of driving industry disruption, which is resulting in the role of the retailer changing in the ecosystem. And that hypothesis has a few different components to it. One of them is, quite honestly, I think people are just hungry for something different. Right. And Amazon's on their own, like, they're on their own sort of plane in this space, right? They created the category, obviously, but, you know, they're part of the triopoly. But, you know, no knock against Google, Meta, Amazon, no knock at all. Mm-hmm. But in an industry where three companies are accounting for, you know, 2/3, 70%+ yeah. of the activity, and it's not just the activity or the dollars, it's the time, the mental capacity, the investment of yeah. people's jobs. In not just, again, media dollars,
all but your also energy, all your resources. Tied
to, right? Yeah, I think yeah. people are just desiring something different, sure. which I think is part of it, to be honest. And then your point about access to first party data is sort of the umbrella for it, but it's really about access to direct relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And a retailer has that. Other service businesses and industries have that, and many companies just don't, based on their business model. Yep. And if you have the technology to be able to harness power of that data, there's magic in that ecosystem. And right. if you can do that right, better data, more accurate targeting, minimize waste, more relevant messaging,
yeah,
tied to specific audience segments to deliver something that is meaningful to them. If you do all of that at the right cost, of course, you're going to improve your ROI and your total brand ROI, not just individual retailer ROI.
Right.
And so we created Walgreens Advertising Group on that very simple premise that better targeting, more relevant messaging at the right cost is going to improve ROI. You get to the formula in that, and it's virtuous circles of growth for the brand, the category. And of course, we as Walgreens have business a result from that brand and category lift as well.
Right. We should probably define what that specifically is, the Walgreens Advertising Group. Is it, I think most would expect you're selling ads on your property using data that brands that sell within your stores or on your site want to reach more people or get noticed. Are you also going outside of your owned and operated properties and using that data like some retailers are to target folks?
Yeah, so great question. I'm glad you asked that question because we, first of all, we believe that retailers in the media industry are so much more than a retail media network. Mm-hmm. And I personally, as an individual, would like to see the term retail media go away just as fast as it was established. I get that people in our industry think things in buckets. Yeah. And so like now it's a bucket. Retail right. media, I'm going to design processes. Agencies are going to spin up e-commerce / retail media groups.
Yeah, there's a whole consultancies cottage industry.
Are spinning up yeah. groups, right? Like everyone's going to go after retail media. I'll make your retail media work harder for you. What we believe is that retail media is not a separate thing. It's just media. And Walgreens Advertising Group is a media business that wants to partner with brands to improve their brand media ROI and drive their sales.
Like any publisher or media company would want to do.
Overall, yeah. yeah. And our approach to the business is actually a little bit opposite the way many folks do, because many retailers start the way you describe. Sell some ads on your site, sell some
it's
ads.
It's like found emails. Money. I'll throw some stuff on there and let's see what happens.
We do yeah. that. We do that, but our value proposition, our strength, is based on executing media offsite through our DSP, through Meta, through Pinterest, through Google, and otherwise. We have access to over 20 digital touch points, a billion impressions a day. Again, mapped to our identity-based first-party data asset that is scaled in the ecosystem, and that is what people are interested in. And we're seeing on average about a 6-to-1 return on ad spend. And we're more nascent at doing incrementality and measuring incrementality, but third party measured through IRI incrementality. Uh-huh. On average, we're seeing about 20% lift of incremental brand sales tied to Walgreens Advertising Group campaigns in market.
Right. So this is not a side project or like a passing thing. Like you're building.
This is a business. Yeah. It's a media business inside of Walgreens. And we operate it that way. We run it that way. And we've got a ton of momentum, both internal in the company and also external in the industry.
Right. Because I often wonder whether, and right now the money's flowing and I guess no one would want to bail, but is everybody going to want to be in this business for the long haul that are not traditional media companies? And is there some roll up that might come out of this? But it seems like you're not thinking about that or you're not seeing that out in the market.
I mean, do I think that this... I'm sure some will say this trend of every retailer launching a media network, you know, it's got to cool off at some point. And there is probably a little element of remains to be seen if there's either some consolidation of capability or partnership for scale. I think there's a little TBD mm-hmm. in some of that. I mean, obviously there's been businesses built on aggregating retailer data.
Sure.
So maybe retailers can build businesses aggregating their own or forge those partnerships themselves. Right? Like there's a TBD in that. But
sure,
I do believe fundamentally that the notion of industry disruption and the role of retailers and other like businesses that have deep and scalable direct relationships with people as the privacy landscape evolves, I think that role and the evolution of that role is here to stay and mm-hmm. will be part of shaping this sort of next phase of the industry.
So given that experience of what you're building, I wonder if your experience this past couple of years has been different than other brands. How much, as an advertiser, are you being feeling rocked or squeezed by the changes with Apple's identity and cookies coming going away and what's going to happen with privacy? Are you shifting gears entirely? Are you going towards new alternatives? What's that look like for you?
Yeah, so another great question. I mean, we are obviously citizens of the industry, and as a healthcare company, Walgreens takes privacy and PII, right? We have a pharmacy business, we have a retail business, we have a lot of direct relationships with customers and patients, and so we take that extraordinarily seriously, arguably err on the sort of the right side of the line of being call it conservative, if you will, but we take it extraordinarily seriously from the perspective of Walgreens as an advertiser. I don't know, I have a great way to say it. It's obviously critical, but we're not panicked over it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. I think the industry's in a bit of a tizzy.
Yeah.
And every other day, everybody's got an ID graph, and every other day, there's something else that comes out about. We're staying the course. We're staying focused. Again, we've got an ecosystem that's built on us having direct relationships.
Right.
Because of those direct relationships and our technology.
So you might be less frenzied than somebody else who doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, right? So. Right. I'm not saying we've got all the answers and we figured it all out and we're going to hit bumps too, but you know, we've got identity syncs. We've got the ability to execute. If Google decided tomorrow we're turning third-party cookies off Chrome, we could still activate media.
Right.
We'd have
to. You're not falling off a cliff, but
we're not falling off. We could still activate with scale. We still have work to do to make sure that our ecosystem is as sound as it is in a world of having third-party cookies. But I would say we're paying appropriate attention, but we're also not panicked.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the day, if it improves the relationship between advertisers and people just in society,
should be a good thing.
Then great. It's going to be a good thing in the long run.
Do you feel compelled, like, do you guys, I have to make sure we're trying this new identifier, UID 2.0, or this, or whatever this new contextual product is, or not, whatever other identifiers are coming around the corner. Do you guys feel like you have to try everything, or just make preparations?
I mean, we certainly are trying things. We would like to see some standardization in the industry over the next 18 months, if not sooner. As other folks,
you don't want 15 new alternatives or solutions or whatever.
No. And we want, you know, we want, again, through our technology partnerships, we want as much pool of inventory that we can activate against using our IDs grounded in our direct relationship. And we have a deep, relationship, with a few different companies that allow us that flexibility, but we want to build that ecosystem, you know, almost like the world's largest private marketplace of identity-based relationships, mm-hmm. so that we still have that pool. And by the way, that pool is not digital or traditional. It's a pool of all inventory that you can access based on, again, on how people live their lives. Whether it's the big screen or the device in your hand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, getting back to we talked about the television industry, and you guys have how you are trying to shift the way your company thinks and how you execute media plans. Where are you? There's so much excitement around CTV right now. So much of user growth. Obviously, usage has grown in the last couple of years, and there's all these possibilities of data and targeting, but it's still very much being written as we go here. Like, how are you using CTV right now? And I wonder if you Are there things you wish you could do because of your experience as a digital advertiser that you can't yet, that you want to get at?
Yeah. So first of all, the industry loves acronyms. The industry loves to just sort of create things. And CTV, OTT as this segment over here.
Right.
Again, is something that I get why it happens. But no one lives their life that way. Like no one says, all right, I'm now watching CTV linear tonight. TV. No, no, I'm going to watch some OTT. No,
right.
And now I'm going to watch some CTV. Now I'm going to watch some digital video. Like no one lives that way. So again, our philosophy always starts with what is the behavior and how do we effectively deliver marketing communications relative to that behavior and experience of the content that that person is choosing to consume, because nobody says, I want to sit here and watch ads.
Right.
I want to watch a piece of content. So that's our philosophy. We understand the industry is structured in the way it's structured. So we can't change that overnight. And, you know, far be it from us to believe that we can. So I would say we're learning as everybody else is learning. I would say measurement in the space is a challenge still. Some elements of brand safety still a challenge. But from what we're seeing in macro, we believe in video as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'll say video, again, philosophically includes quote-unquote linear TV. But for this conversation, the purpose of this conversation, I'll say video is inclusive of what we in the industry say is digital video and also OTT, CTV.
Yep.
And we're seeing solid performance. We think there's a ton of upside. And we're chasing that upside. Transparently, one of the challenges you have is ability to have enough assets creatively to be effective in that communication. And that's something that obviously we're working through with our creative team. We've got a tremendous in-house creative
because
team.
You don't want to use the same TV spot again and again, or you it's because or because in digital you're accustomed to making lots of different
I mean it's a little bit of both, right? We also the typical model is you might have one broadcast ready piece of content,
right?
But that one broadcast ready piece of content, it could work in some, you know, you could plop it on a Hulu, you could, but you got to think about frequency management, you got to think about relevancy, you got to think about how it will appear in that medium,
right?
And if you're going to use it to the maximum of its potential, then you got to have a breadth of assets and a breadth of
especially
content
if it's supposed to be about more precise,
more personalized. Right? Yeah. Like that's part of the promise, right?
Right.
Digital principles applied. So
yeah.
The same way you have the ability to create 1,000 individual pieces of display creative, you know, in real time, like how you apply that in video, the technologies exist, but you need the asset. You need the base assets created with that in mind. And that's, if anything, probably our sort of biggest kind of current.
So that's interesting. Is the technology there? Like that's the one frontier that seems to be yet to be democratized. Like there are companies that will help you make crank out.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, there are companies that are doing, you know, call it that dynamic video create kind of thing. And some of them maybe a little more startup-y. It is not a well-established practice.
Especially for social. But yeah, it would seem to be, I don't know where if that comes from from the ad agency world, or that's going to come from a technology company where you, if somebody could figure out how to make a lot of ads variations fast in television and maybe help the smaller brands get in TV when they never done it before. That's a big business theoretically.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, there's a lot of folks that are kind of around that space, but the industry certainly hasn't galvanized to a standard of that function. So we'll see, you know, we'll see where that space goes to.
Look, I want to ask you a couple more things before we end here, but where, given the way that you describe the way you're very, very data driven, the way you think about return in general, with television, this is like it's a big topic of all these alternative currencies, new currencies. But I wonder, does that stuff matter to you as much as it may to other brands? Like, I don't know. Do you care about different ways of counting ratings and points and things like that? Or are you caring more, or you care about attribution and targeting more so?
Yeah, so tremendous question. I mean, we care as citizens of the industry. We care,
right?
If I contrast my current world, like the view of retail is quite different than even my former world at Johnson & Johnson, where it was, you know, pharmaceuticals and or CPG.
Sure.
So I would imagine I would still care, but the balance of what you care about might change, right? I mean, right now we're so focused on getting multi-touch attribution further advanced to allow for all media, to allow for granularity to measure effectiveness at an individual audience level across own channels, paid channels, digital channels, quote unquote TV. Like, you know, we're so focused on that. The counting of impressions is important. I would say we are quite involved in some of the pilots around new currency. And we do think that that is important in part because of where I started, which is our philosophy of taking digital principles and applying it to traditional media. Getting to a new currency will be part of that journey.
Right.
And so we are quite bullish on being part of that industry evolution and pushing that agenda, if you will, but pushing that transformation to, for lack of a better way to say this, modernize how television is bought and sold.
Well, you kind of nailed it, though. The digital principle is often about we'll use a currency, but we're really optimizing to outcomes anyway. And that seems like where you want TV to go ultimately at some point.
Yeah, I mean, everything should be based on, to the extent that you can, you know, this sort of outcomes-based mentality.
Yeah.
But there still needs to be, you know, and we're big supporters of the MRC. Like, there needs to be an agreement of what counts. Like, how do you define an impression? What counts as an ad delivery? How are we actually counting that an ad was seen by a person and not a, like, all those things are super important. Super important.
Sure.
Directly translates to how it was effective. And, you know, in order for you to effectively calculate an ROI, you have to be able to define the I.
Right, right.
And what counts as an I. And so all these things are super important.
Right. Last thing, we talked about how you were trying to have a unified view of television, even as it's evolving. Do you, as a brand... Everyone has a different point of view on this. Do you lump in TikTok, Snap, viewership on those platforms on the same playing field as TV when you're making decisions? Is that totally different animal in your mind?
So we don't. I imagine other businesses with and some of it is a variance of consumer base and customer base and profile of, you know, who you're talking to and who you go. So we don't specifically to those companies, but we do think of sort of broad stroke digital video, if you will. And there's many dimensions to what's included in that. But we do think about video as a whole, and then the delivery mechanism of that video will be sort of more nuanced to our consumer base and who we are talking to. And those platforms in particular, not that they aren't amazing platforms and not that they wouldn't have any relevance for us, but we don't think of them in that exactly that same way.
Yeah, today. You just need to figure out how to make some drugstore item go viral on TikTok and blow off the shelves, and then you'll be...
Yeah, like, I mean, like every business has. You have your moments, and we've done some stuff on both of those platforms. We've done some stuff on TikTok, and a couple years ago during the start of the pandemic, recorded a song tied to sort of virtual graduations that was happening at the time. So, you know, we've played around in space, if you will, but probably a little bit differently in terms of focus than some other folks.
Makes sense. Well, listen, Luke, we could probably talk for hours here, but this is a terrific conversation. Thanks so much for your time, and hopefully we'll connect again down the road.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
A big thanks to my guest this week, Luke Keigel, VP of Walgreens Media, head of Walgreens Advertising Group, and of course, my partners at Triple Lift. If you like this week's episode, please take a moment to rate and leave a review. We have lots more to bring you, so be sure to hit the subscribe button. We'll see you next time for more on what's next in marketing.